Hello, I'm Michael.
And so am I. Welcome back to the Sticky Bun Boys.
We are continuing to plough through Series 5 of the Great British Bake Off, and this week is European Cake Week.
You've had a fair share of European cakes, haven't you, Michael?
David, I told you that in confidence.
You know I can't keep a secret, just like when you told me that
That's enough, actually. Let's get on with it.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Is this one of the ones they've never done twice? European Cake Week? I don't think we've had that.
I've never heard of that before. Sorry, I just put my teeth in. I feel a bit kind of...
Do you know what I'm liking right now?
Alex hates it when I make those noises.
Well, you're adding the ASMR. What I like in this room is Michael's got this new light and it shines upon the ceiling. It's basically the northern lights all around the room. We might fall asleep in this.
I've fallen into the TikTok trend of galaxy projectors and it's ever soothing. I lie here at night, like just before like bedtime, I put my phone on my nightstand and I just gaze at the ceiling and I imagine I'm in space. It's lovely.
Oh, it's really nice.
Very soothing.
It's quite...
Can we try it with the lights off?
I beg your pardon? It is nice that the light's off. I'll let you see that later on. You can change the colours as well. It's fab. Better than European cakes.
European cakes. Do you know what I loved about this one, though, is I loved the fact that, I don't know if people get away with this now, but Mel and Sue just did so many different European accents. And the thing is, it didn't seem offensive because they were really, really good at them.
Yeah, I think, I was about to say, it doesn't feel offensive because they can speak those languages. So it's sort of okay.
Well, I think they can speak quite a few languages. When they've I don't think they can speak Swedish and Hungarian and all these other ones.
No, that's interesting. Do you think it felt okay because it was a product of its time? Or do you think it felt okay because it's them?
It's just because it's them.
Because also, Sue does all those, trips through different places all over the world. They are travel.
But also, sometimes when people do it, it feels offensive. It didn't feel like they were making fun of the accents. Yeah. They were making fun of themselves by doing an accent.
Being fun of themselves, being unable to do the accent.
Yeah. Anyway, so the signature was a European cake. It had to be leavened with yeast, though, and they had 3 hours.
What would you do? Play this thing.
Ooh, what would you do?
I would do a babka, probably.
Ooh.
And I'd probably just, basic bitch it, because they want something that ties to your... Whenever it's a signature, they're like, oh, and it must link to your family somehow, or something you'd do at home somehow. So I'd just be like, chocolate orange, have that every Christmas, chocolate orange babka, done.
I love the way that you've just done what Kate did, because Kate was like, it's a babka, which isn't actually a European cake,
because
it's from Israel, but they're in the Eurovision Song Contest, so it's okay.
Well, controversially at the moment, let's not discuss that too much.
Well, I would have done a panettone oil, the citrus oil that's panettone. And then I'd have had brandy-soaked raisins. And then, on a panettone, you get that crust. Mm. That's with egg whites and ground almonds. I'd have put an almond crust on top.
Hasn't got sugar in it as well.
Oh, and sugar, yeah. Well done you for
Look at me knowing that fact. I had a panettone last week.
So who did you like?
I quite like the Savarin ones. Savarin? Savarin.
Savarin.
Savarin ones. I like the Savarin ones mostly.
Really?
That to me, I know it's very sweet because it's soaked. It's basically like a cakey bread soaked all the way through in syrup, basically. And it's actually not far off an Indian milk sweet, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe it's because I'm not a fan of those Indian milk sweets. I don't like things that are fully soaked in syrup. I like the lemon drizzle cake.
Yeah.
Or someone else invented that, didn't they? Where they invented it, where they just put a drizzle of lemon on a cake.
Oh, that was a couple of seasons ago, wasn't it? That was a good callback to something we don't remember.
I do like lemon drizzle cake, but when it's fully soaked with syrup. Although saying that baklava is really soaked in syrup, and I love that.
Oh, that's too sweet for me. But Chetna was doing an orange flavoured Savarin, which was orange flavoured dough soaked in orange syrup. But the best bit was filled with pistachio and a cinnamon cream. I don't often get a cinnamon cream. I don't often think about that, but that could be quite nice.
Yeah, because it's fragrant and soft and I liked hers because it had a waist. I like the way she described it, because basically it's a pert cake. And then when she put too much syrup on, while it was warm, I guess, it kind of fell down a little bit. But the bottom and the top bit kind of stayed the same. So it just had this little waist in the middle.
Did you hear what Mel said?
No.
So it looked like a piles cushion. So there you go. they cut the Chetna's face and she was like, oh.
To be honest, a Savran, you probably could use it as a... I mean, it's a bit of a waste, but you could use it
you
as a...
You would just squidge all the way through. What are piles?
Hemorrhoids.
And they're like the blobby bits that stick out your bum.
The blobby bits, yeah.
Does that just happen?
Yeah.
When you strain too much?
That's what people always say, yeah. But it's basically like blood vessel type things coming out. It's actually the type of blood vessels that form your poo as it comes out through your anus. It's like a cushioning
of
blood
vessels.
As in
like squidge vessels. It
together? Yeah, and make it a nice shape.
Oh, that's quite pleasing. Yeah. Every day's a school day.
Not when they come out and start bleeding, though.
Alex just Googled a picture of them. That's what that yelp was.
And you can get... I mean, sheep get really bad ones.
There were quite a few Savarans this week, just to come back to the podcast. So Martha was doing one and Nancy was doing one. But Nancy did it differently. Differently because she was making a sponge. Do you want to share with the listeners what a sponge is?
Yeah, I like using sponges. So a sponge is where you mix your yeast... all your yeast, all your water, but only a small amount of your flour.
Mm.
And it basically activates your yeast really quickly. It goes to like a bubbly sponge.
Because it's got sugars to eat, basically, without being inhibited.
Yeah, she added some sugar as well then, but it's actually more to do with the fact that because there's more water, yeast can move around quickly, so it does its job a lot quicker. And then you add your flour, knead it in. It's just a way of speeding it up.
Who stood out to you? Who did you like?
I really liked Richard's. He did a fruit Gudelhopf or something like
Gudelhopf.
That. Gudelhopf. And I really like the fact because he used a bundt tin and he somehow managed to put almonds all on the inside.
Yeah.
So then he put his mix in and then when he turned it out, it was all covered in almonds.
Do you think that helps as well with getting it to not stick to the bundt? Because nuts aren't normally sticky.
Yes.
When they kind of go under heat.
I just don't know how he did it. It's annoying when they do things where someone actually does something quite impressive and then they don't show you.
Yeah, I thought it looked gorgeous. I mean, when it came out to it, the top had crystallized a bit, so there wasn't much shine from his glaze. But he was doing that thing where he hadn't really practiced how he was going to decorate it, so he was kind of deciding on the day. And I felt like the move he went down was perhaps not so good. To me, I don't really know what a Gudelhopf is, but I felt like maybe just leave it because it looked gorgeous. Don't put the glaze on it. Just leave it on its own.
I also have to say, I did really like the fact that Martha did a dark chocolate Savarin, as you said, but she had a really clever way of soaking the syrup in.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're pouring the syrup on, I tend to find that most of my syrup then goes down off the cake and onto the counter.
Yeah.
And she poured the syrup back into her cake tin, then put the cake in it.
Really
so it
smart.
Could sit soaking up the syrup without wasting
it. And top down.
Yes.
Loved that. So Martha was doing something interesting with her. She was doing a dark chocolate and almond liqueur Savarin, so amaretto, with white chocolate and crushed almond brittle on top. She proved it twice, but she added the butter to the dough after the first prove. So she basically made the dough, let it prove, and then mixed butter into it, and then proved it again.
Yeah.
That felt weird to me.
It does feel weird.
And to Paul, he was a bit weird about it.
Yeah, it does work, though. The thing is, you don't ever want to add butter too early because it blocks the gluten from forming. But usually you just mix it for like 5 minutes, then you add your butter. But because the butter retards the yeast, it actually could work because you're letting it do its first prove, get really active, then you're adding the butter.
Yeah,
and it seems to work for her.
Because basically, if you're doing two proves, you're knocking it all the way back and letting it basically start from scratch again. You're just developing flavours and structure. So yeah, I mean, it just, to me, would feel very nerve-wracking in case... Because you know when you're trying to put mixed fruit in, we've spoken about this before, trying to mix fruit in and it's really hard to get it to actually go in.
Yeah.
I would worry that the butter would just slough all over the place and I'd get like a looped up counter and nothing else.
Which maybe that's what she did and that's why it worked because there's no butter.
Nothing against that either. Shall we talk about, I've written Luigi, but I think it was Louis, who was going for a Kugelhopf, which I believe is not a Gugelhopf.
Are they just the same from different countries or not?
I imagine so. But he was doing apple and cinnamon with honeyed apples on top with a Calvados syrup. Those flavours... Wow.
I love apple. I love these spiced sweet breads and cakey things. And apple with it is so good.
Yeah. I think actually, to be fair, all of them did quite well.
They had quite a lot of time, as in they didn't have a lot of time to do enriched dough, but they had a lot of time off where they're not doing anything. So it was one of those ones where there was a lot of wandering around with cups of tea. And there was one bit where they were talking, I think, were they talking to Chetna? Or talking to someone, and there was like a whole conference of three of them on the bench behind just chatting with their cups of tea.
I loved seeing them in the background as having a bit of a chatter. They all did quite well. I think Nancy probably came out bottom there because hers are completely overproved, so it kind of sank in the middle. Looked a bit like a moon shape when you cut through it.
Luckily with Nancy, when she does something where it looks like a disaster, when other people do that, there'll be lots of disastrous things. Whereas she still managed to hit on the flavours. Like she never ever has a full disaster.
Yeah.
Anyway, the technical...
You're missing out the BB.
Oh, what BB was it?
It was a boring one, actually. Oh, they went to Denmark, and in 1864, Jutland, which was in Denmark, was invaded by Germany, and at revolutionary meetings, they ate cake.
Yeah, because they weren't allowed alcohol. So they got drunk.
Oh, is that what they said?
They got drunk on cakes, basically. Because basically the Germans said they weren't allowed alcohol, so they all brought cakes instead and got drunk on cakes. It was quite funny just because Sue did eat every single cake.
She
on
did
the
eat
table.
Every single cake, but it felt like they were padding a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, on to the technical. This technical was a princess torta.
Yes.
In 2.25 hours, which is tight for time.
It's really, really tight. So I actually was inspired by this episode and tried a princess torta for the first time, made one myself.
Did you do the traditional?
I did a traditional one. Well, I think I did a blueberry jam rather than a raspberry one, but like, same difference. So I basically did this, and 2.25 hours is like nigh on impossible for this challenge. I don't know whether it was that popular back then, because everyone didn't seem to know what it was, but I definitely, well, I know Michelle does them like all the time.
I think this was the thing, probably. This was it where this kind of brought it to the attention in the UK, and right. Everyone started doing them. Because it's basically a really creamy, it's a Genoese sponge.
Oh, what, sorry?
Oh, no.
Play the klaxon.
Genoese!
It's a Genoese sponge.
It's a Genoese sponge.
Now, interestingly, back in 2019, it was about April or May.
No
wonder
time. You tried this one, because you just wanted to whack out your Genoese
I just wanted to
skills.
Prove that I could.
So it's a Genoese sponge, and then it's kind of lots of creaminess, like with a creme pat mixed with a cream and then a cream
so
and blah, blah.
It's a layer of Genoese, then a layer of creme pat and jam, and then a layer of Genoese, and then a layer of creme pat mixed with cream, and then a Genoese, and then a dome of cream.
And then the best
and then
ever.
Marzipan.
Marzipan.
But I found when I made it, so I really enjoyed making it. It was quite, while I was making it, I was quite enjoying the fact that it was testing out lots of different skills. And like, I started thinking I might do it in 2.25 hours, and then I did it in 5 because I couldn't be bothered. But when I was eating it, I was like, this is just cream.
Yeah.
There's no texture. It's literally just cream. And Genoese is a really light sponge anyway. So the only flavor you're getting is from the jam. And I was like, I think if I was to make it again, I'd probably flavour the Genoese, I'd flavour the cream, I'd add some more flavours in to pack a punch a bit more. Because it just felt like I was eating like a mouthful of just like creamy goo.
It wouldn't be hate it, but it wouldn't be my favourite.
No.
I don't think.
Creamy goo, title of ep. So the words of wisdom were read the recipe at least twice before you start, which I think was actually quite smart. Because the way this recipe works is like you have to make a creme pat, and then you use like a quarter of the creme pat just as creme pat, then you mix the rest of it with some cream, but then you don't use all the cream, you use some of the cream for the top and some of it to mix up. So I think that was smart.
And just to work out your time, because there's so many elements to this.
Yeah. Kate said, when the producer came to her and said, how are you feeling? She went, my heart is beating, which is good. You would expect that. You would hope for that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good if it wasn't.
The bare minimum.
Nancy gets, talking about biology, Nancy gets a very rosy face in the tent, doesn't she?
I think it's when she gets flustered, but she doesn't show it. But like, I think that must be her flusteredness.
Because she's got such a calm demeanour. Mm. So you can't... So that must be the only way you can tell she gets a red face.
This was such a good challenge, though. Like, Chetna completely fell flat, literally, with her Genoese.
Yeah.
And then Kate had the same issue. Then Kate managed to make a second Genoese in about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It was wild. Richard said his piping felt fairly stiff. Louis was concerned that his filling wasn't thick enough. And then we had this most iconic moment from Nancy Birtwistle.
What did the male judge say? You know when I said
did you
I'm
say
76.
The male judge?
Yes. And he said.
You're not even calling him Paul now.
You know when the male judge said, I've forgotten it. I'm going to put that in the freezer right now.
She just completely forgot his name. Completely forgot his name. But what did the male judge say?
She forgot it, or was she being sassy? Because that was like the most iconic thing
No, but
ever.
It was the first time she said it. She was talking about her like her creamy, like she was like, oh, it's a lovely curve. And she just went, what did the male judge say? Like it was a genuine question. That was what made it so iconic, was that she didn't even think about it. It just came out.
And then it just became a thing forever. And I can't believe we didn't call him the male judge when we were on.
Oh, I would have loved that. I mean, Elena very nearly did. Did you notice in this episode, in this challenge even, Mel was just everywhere. Like, no shot didn't have her in the background of them. Like, she was like, you saw Sue in the background wafting cakes and her holding, and like Mel holding things and help people to, like, I love that they were genuinely there.
That's the thing with them as well. They are not helpful as in they don't know anything about baking.
No.
They don't know anything about cakes, et cetera, et cetera. But they definitely were helpful in this, where they kind of like would hold things for people or waft something, which was really, really nice. It's not making it unfair on the contestants, but it's also just helping people who are slightly flustered.
Yeah, I think it, to me, I don't know this. This is a speculation. As you know, this is a science podcast and we do look into all of our stuff. But I felt like in our day, the presenters were around, absolutely, but they kind of were around for a certain portion of the challenge. Like they would go away, they would come back about an hour in, do about an hour, then go away again, then come back for the end.
And sometimes they'll be there just in case something happened, but they wouldn't be there with us. They'd be there at the front of the tent.
Whereas it felt a bit more like Mel and Sue were just there the whole time walking around eating things. There was something very funny as well about the end when, like, lots of them didn't look particularly very good. But there's something funny about the way they make them present on glass cake stands, even if they look hideous. Yeah. But also, we never really had that because all of ours were, like, loads of individuals.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I left before we did one thing. You, then the following week, had to make one pie. But normally it was, like, three of this, six of those, try 21 of these.
But we weren't given glass cake stands.
Well, no, because we just had... there were too many things.
I liked this one as well because people, like you say, they didn't always look that great at the end. But what they'd all managed to do in 2.25 hours,
Impressive.
It was impressive. They'd all managed to like produce this thing. Some of them were definitely better than others. In fact, Kate's was at the bottom.
Mm.
Richard was next, then Martha, then Louis, then Chetna. And Nancy's looked like she'd had 5 hours to do hers.
And she looked quite tearful when she got the praise, actually, didn't she?
Yeah.
I love seeing her succeed.
Right, the next day, they were doing the showstopper. That's how the format works. And they were doing a Dobbers-Torte in 5 hours.
So a Dobbers-Torte is from Hungary?
Yeah.
And it's like a multi-layered sponge cake topped with caramel slices, essentially.
Basically, they wanted lots of caramel. They wanted it to be a celebration of caramel.
And 2 tiers.
And at least 2 tiers.
Yeah.
I have to say, I found this quite boring.
It was one of the ones a bit like, not that I'm bitter, the Kek Lapis Sarawak.
Ooh, where, yeah.
Like, because what the thing we found hard with that challenge was that there was no time to do anything because you were just constantly putting something in the oven, taking something out of the oven, putting something in the oven. Because they were basically baking every single layer of the cake, separately, and then building it afterwards. And it was weird because they were almost like spreading it on baking parchment like pancakes.
Yeah.
But because they're just going in and out of the oven constantly, there's no time for anyone like really have much banter.
And then not much time to do lots of decoration either, because even though they all tried to, because they were being told they had to, none of them looked
5 hours
very...
though, quite long.
Yeah, but none of them looked that great. Like, it was one of those ones where I didn't really want to eat any of them. They all looked a bit kind of like creamy with rubbery cake.
It looked hot as well. Did you notice the Dyson air fan things?
Oh no, I didn't see that.
There were loads of... I actually don't know how those Dyson air fans work. How does that... It's just like a hole.
It's a hole. I don't know. There's one at work. I've got no... And I get scared to put my hand in it because I think it's going to chop my hand off.
You don't like putting your hand in holes. You keep your hands out of the holes.
A whole hand, definitely.
And also, when they're making the caramel, like, there must have been so many saucepans that were just ruined because you can't just use that saucepan again. That's gone. That's gone to the elves at the back of the tent to wash up. They must have got loads of extras.
Yeah, and they must have been there all evening washing those. Right, so who did you like?
So I nearly said Chetna again, but... I need to get off the Chetna train for a little bit at least. So I'm going to go back to Luigi and his hazelnut, vanilla, salted caramel and coffee version thing. And like he did a really smart thing with it where he made the sugar work go round the top tier to make it a bit, not like a cage, but like a tower kind of thing. And I thought that was smart rather than just like dropping all of your sugar work on top. Actually, almost like a collar, but made of caramel.
His was definitely the best.
Yeah.
Like the best looking one. I have to say, I'm going to jump straight back on that train because mine was Chetna's.
Mm.
Because she used a Victoria sponge for the cake, which I just thought was really nice because it's a softer cake. It's going to work for it. It's not going to be as chewy.
Yeah.
But then also, she did these squiggly caramel bits and she sprinkled sesame seeds on them. And I love those kind of sesame sweet things. Sesame snaps, we call them. I love those. So hers, I thought, was really good. She'd been a bit more clever with her caramel work.
She was also doing Maysham School of Bizarre Implements yeah. because she was literally oiling grapes and then attaching sugar onto the end of them, then like going on the bottom of the grape and pulling it off. It had like a mini penny lick, if you will. Like a little, little mini caramel penny lick.
And then because then they were like little... caramel half orbs, and then she was putting them all around the cake. It was one of those things that's very clever, but it's like it didn't look very nice.
Well, then, yeah, Mary was like, "Oh, everyone's going to be doing this." I was like, "Are they?"
I don't think anyone has done that ever.
No, time has told Mary was wrong. Back to Louis, just quickly. You know how he had his caramel stuck around the edge of the cake?
Yes.
How did he stop his caramel from going wet and sticky?
I don't know. And like fall down, like start collapsing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
When caramel gets wet, as in if it touches the fillings of his cake, it would just... go a bit flaccid.
Basically, he's a genius, so he's not going to share his skills.
Mm.
I thought one thing Kate said, now Kate didn't do very well.
She did 3 tiers though, raspberry, chocolate and orange.
And that's what I liked because she said, I don't want to do 2 tiers because it looks like a hat. And it's true.
It does look like a hat.
A 3-tier cake looks so impressive. A 2-tier one is like, looks like a hat.
Is that why you did 3 when we did our tiered cake?
Did I do 3 or did I
you
do
did,
2?
You did, your top tier was like an inch wide, but...
Just so it wasn't a hat.
Yeah, well, mine looked like a hat, and I couldn't make it look less like a hat. Then I stuck a feather in it, and it looked even more like a hat.
She also said actual hat.
I'm going to, like, make an edit of Alex wearing my cake as a hat. Oh, my God. Do you remember when I made that thing in Dessert Week, and it looked like Queen Mother's hat?
Oh, yes, yeah.
I didn't realise that either.
We should have two. It should be me and a picture of me and Alex, and you should put us hats
little
on.
Hats on.
Martha also didn't do great on this one. She did a chess board, which was quite a clever idea, considering it's all square and there's all the different layers, but she didn't show a lot of skill with the chess pieces because she just made molds, caramel molds of them. And it was just, she just ran out of time, I guess, because it just looked a bit sloppy and things.
Yeah, and down at the bottom with her was Richard, who was doing two different types of cakes. He was doing raspberry and dark chocolate on the bottom and then peach and white chocolate on the top with a sugar bird and a spun sugar cage. But the cakes dropped quite a bit and they weren't quite as stylish and neat as you'd expected. And then his sponges were a bit dry and it didn't look, it felt like both Martha and Richard actually had done fairly well across the board. And then this challenge just dropped them down.
Yeah, it looked a bit sad for Richard. So when it came down to it, the star was Chetna.
And I, controversially, you know, I'm on the Chetna train, I'm the conductor of the Chetna train, but I do think Louis was a little bit robbed there.
I do. I wonder if it was because, did Chetna do slightly better in the first week? Like for the showstopper?
We literally just said it and I can't remember. Let me scroll up.
Louis was third and Chetna was second in the technical.
Yeah, well, I mean, not to take away from her win, however many years ago it was.
Yeah. I'm sure she's not thinking about it. And going home, they did that usual thing where they were saying, for the judges, it's never been such a close decision. I mean, how many times can they say that?
Do you know what? I got on board with this. Because I was like, we know there's going to be an episode this year where nobody goes home because they've lost Diana already. And it was weird that when they lost Diana, that someone still went home that week. Although I think it was Norman and that was probably well deserved. Imagine him making one of these. Like it just wouldn't work. So I kind of like, I quite liked them actually making it into a bit more of a thing. As if, it, like, yes, we all knew it was going to happen. Yes, we all knew this was bullshit. But actually, I quite liked the bullshit. I enjoyed the insight into the judging. And then when they were talking at the end, like Paul and Prue, no, Mary.
Mary.
Paul and Mary both spoke and explained the reasons, being like, Richard, I felt like this, this, this. They explained their reasoning behind the judging, and you never get that, and I liked that.
Yeah, I'm nodding because I didn't watch it.
I also would say a twist one year that I've had an idea for is have one less baker that year, and then just have one week where you save two.
Ooh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be like that's a more friendly twist? Because our year, they tried to add someone else in so there'd be a double elimination. But wouldn't it be more in the spirit of Bake Off to have a double save?
Also, maybe about week four, they could bring in someone who went in week one on a previous series.
Very traitors.
The thing is, they could do this all the time. They don't do anything fun like this on Bake Off. They could have all of these ideas. Drag Race do it as well. They bring people back. And anyway, no one went home. And it was a close one at the bottom. And I do kind of feel that the judges, I get the impression they just like all these people as well.
Yeah, well, I do. I think I was doing a voice note to you this week and I was just like, I genuinely am enjoying watching them. Like, yeah. Even when it's like a bit of a boring episode, I'm enjoying watching them. And I don't often watch, I think this is the first time I've watched Bake Off and gone, oh, I'll try that. Mm-hmm. And that was a genuine feeling. Like, I wanted to give it a go.
And I do wonder, I don't know if this is a thing, but Martha is 17, but all the rest of them are relatively old. And it just seems like they're a bit mature and taking it
seriously. What are you trying to say?
We were just some little bitchy young'uns. I wasn't that young. So, essentially nothing happened there.
That's not true. We actually learned how important it is to oil your grapes and how not important it is to actually learn the judges' names.
A very good point. Right, let's get on to this week's taste test, which comes from Sam. Sam has just given three words, aubergine and chocolate.
I have many questions.
Well, hold on to them. We'll be back in a second.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hello, it's us. Did you miss us?
It must be difficult being apart from us for those precious seconds spent listening to various people flogging their wares.
Speaking of which, have you heard about our OnlyFlans? It's our exclusive page where you can get loads of bonus behind-the-scenes tea, which we are absolutely not allowed to do on the podcast.
Not just that, but we also share ad-free episodes, recipes, chats with special guests, and loads more.
And this could all be yours for the price of a chocolate orange a month.
Just pop over to patreon.com/stickybunboys to find out more and join in on all the fun.
Right, the flogging is officially over.
Over? I was just getting started.
I don't understand how the context of these three words together. Well, I get the and, but the aubergine and the chocolate are confusing.
I understand the and.
Is it like charred? Like the vegetable, but like the...
Yeah. I cannot picture... My brain can only go rude here because I cannot picture any time an aubergine would go with chocolate.
Oh, they're being rude.
Well, otherwise, how would aubergine go with chocolate?
Do you mean like dick and poo?
Oh, I was just meaning dick and chocolate. Just like squirting some chocolate on the dick.
But if one of them's going to be rude, they both have to be rude.
Well, it could be, yes. That's the only... Because how on earth... Sam needs to write back and say what form the aubergine is in. Because cooked aubergine, or raw aubergine... Aubergine as a vegetable does not go
with
chocolate.
But I was on TikTok the other day and they were doing like a steak and then they made like a sauce out of the chocolate. So maybe it's like a charred aubergine with like a chocolate sauce?
They need to explain because I actually think they may have just been rude.
Okay, let's get on to the disaster of the week.
Disaster of the week.
I think you've got one this week, haven't you?
Oh, I do. It was horrible. I actually sent you a message, but I sent it to both you and Alex. Basically, I commute like we all do. Coming here today was awful. Was on your train? Well, because I was carrying your shoes, your box of shoes.
Oh, my shoes.
And I was carrying the Hoover that I got
stolen from work. They were genuinely stole a Hoover from work today. That's what's happened today.
And then I was carrying my bag. And then I was carrying my book. And
Stephen Carter Bailey, are you listening?
And it was horrible because the tube was absolutely rammed.
Yeah, it's rammed.
Anyway, I get a different train home from when I come here, and I got to the train. And usually it's quite full, but I'm at the start, so it's not always that full. But I got to this carriage, my favourite carriage, and it was... You have a favourite carriage, so don't laugh at me.
I do,
because you know when it gets to your station, the bit where you want to get off the train, and...
My favourite game to play is when you get into a station, you're going on the same line with somebody else, and you both want to go to your carriage, and it's like, who's going to win? Like, are you going to come to my carriage, or am I going to... Do you want to meet in the middle, because I don't want to get off again? do you go through the inside door on a tube?
No, never.
I'm quite scared of it.
Yeah.
It's got a sign on it saying you might die, but people do it all the time.
I would think, even if the train was stopped, I would think I would probably like fall through it and then get stuck and then have to get your foot
in
an alarm.
In between,
and,
yeah.
Anyway, I got to my carriage and no one was on it. It was literally empty. And people were getting on the train and then just like walking down the train away from it. I was like, sweet. Got on. Honestly, the smell, the sweet, ooh, thick smell of urine, ooh, like you could taste it. It was so strong.
Ooh.
I... being a nurse and just dealing with that kind of thing all the time and having to eat your lunch, I was like, I don't care. I'm going to sit in my carriage on my own and enjoy this. So I went in, sat down, and about 30 seconds in, cold and wet, I managed to sit on the actual chair that someone had urinated.
And then what happened, David? Share with everyone what happened then.
Well, then I just couldn't be bothered to move. So well, I'm in this chair, I'm already wet, so I just stayed in it.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
At the next station, some other people came on. And then I was thinking, because they came on because it gets so full, people had to sit in that carriage. But then I thought people maybe thought that I'd actually wet myself.
They absolutely did, yeah. Bake Off winner.
But I did. It was so horrible. When I got home, also it's quite good because it made me shower. Because I got home and I had to like take all my clothes off and shower straight away.
Have you recently pissed yourself? I've not pissed myself in a quite long time.
No, I've pooed myself. I don't really piss myself.
I don't think I do either.
I've had friends that like, used to be if you just got them laughing too much, they'd piss themselves.
Although I do get quite nervous like when you have like a dream. And when you go to the toilet in your dream, and I always wake up like, oh my God, has it happened? Have I done it? But I haven't.
That's why it's so weird in the dream, because in the dream, it's like you go for a wee, you finish the wee, and you're like, I still need a wee. So you go again, and it's like, how have I not actually weed myself?
But then in the dream, you still have the post-wee relief.
Yes.
You know? And so the worry is that the post-wee relief is all too real. Also, is it true that you dream only in the last minute of sleep? Because there's a lot of stuff to pack in there.
It's not kind of. You dream when it's REM.
Right.
But that can happen in different bits. And actually,
isn't
you can dream in deep sleep as well.
REM, are they a band?
They are a band, yeah.
Oh, very
They're a really good band.
Actually, I learned a fun fact this week, so I'm going to add a wee section for fun fact of the week. Can you get quick sting for that, please?
Fun fact of the week.
I was expecting to go, okay, sure. Okay, we're not going to use that again. did you know that the myth of opening umbrellas inside is a myth perpetuated by Big Umbrella? Because Big Umbrella want you to not air out your umbrella so that it goes mouldy and therefore you have to buy a new one.
Well, first of all, I didn't know there was Big Umbrella. like Big Pharma, Big Tobacco, Big Umbrella.
Isn't that fascinating?
That is fascinating.
That's really good. Anyway, we'll move on. We've got some more fun facts with some people who've written in to basically just clarify things that we've said in the past.
Clarify, because we are a factual podcast. So we know what we're talking about.
They're just clarifying. Yeah, that's absolutely. They're adding to our truth.
Yes.
So Daniel's truth is, fun fact, a petard is actually a small bomb or firework. So to be hoisted by one's own petard is to have one's plans cause trouble for others backfiring on oneself.
That's so interesting.
Isn't that interesting? You're not really hoisting it. You're just kind of firing your petard and it's bouncing back at you.
That is, and also nothing to do with pants or a flag.
No, not at all.
Because that's so different to what I thought. I'm going to forget that and I'll still be thinking of a flag next time.
I'm going to try and remember that. Thank you, Daniel. Next up is Karen, who has given us the grow up and have a potato origin story.
Yes, Karen.
So Karen says that someone wrote in to us years ago, as in maybe 1 year ago, about topping a dish with crisps. And my response apparently was, why are you a child? Grow up and have a potato. And I like a potato topping personally. Right. The big messages this week. I think we might only have time for one actually, because we spoke quite a lot earlier on. This one is from Diane, hopefully from the traitors. Hello, Michael and David. For the praise, shall I read out the praise?
Was it actually Michael and David, or was it David and Michael and you switched it?
I didn't switch it this week. Mm-hmm. I didn't switch it. Firstly, the praise. Your podcast cracks me up while at the same time being sweet and cleverly witty. You're sweet. I'm cleverly witty. I know that somebody labelled it as raunchy. Who was that?
I don't know.
And how does she know? but seriously, your overarching vibe is love and support. That's what I feel anyway. And even though I discovered your podcast a few months ago, it just dawned on me to find your Instagram. And I'm so glad that I did. You look like you have so much fun working together and I've missed your faces. It's all a ruse. It's all a ruse.
But it's Instagram.
secondly, please accept these entries for the Olympics. Number one. When he texts on his phone using just one finger.
No, that is not true.
No, that is true.
That is what sophisticated human beings do.
No, I was talking about this at work with somebody recently, actually. You need to text with your thumbs only. I will allow two thumbs, but it needs to just be thumbs. I'm miming it now just to check, and it has to be thumbs.
So I do voice notes because I do only text with my one index finger, and it's so slow.
You use your finger like a stylus, don't you? It's quite embarrassing, really.
Yes.
It's awful. I completely agree. You have to be using one or two thumbs.
Yeah, I just watched Nick. I'm like, how is he doing so fast?
Well, maybe you could just practice.
I did practice tying my shoelace, though, in a clever way. That'll go on our OnlyFans.
Oh, God. please don't turn them off.
That's a way to draw them in.
Second, I'm a librarian, so this is a specialised ick.
I love librarians, by the way.
Okay. Is there a reason or just a fan?
I just love books, and they're always the kindest, nicest, beautifulest people. I love you, Diane.
Okay, great. Please imagine the ickiness of when a library patron returns a book and it is sticky.
Probably done that as well.
Yeah, probably with your own fucking shit. Yes, I can imagine that's a bit gross. I don't like that. Number three, that super awkward feeling you have as a room of people sings happy birthday to you as you look at the cake like you're strategizing. That's hard to say. Your candle blowing. It is quite an awkward moment. Like after the first, like, happy birthday.
Before we do, let's stop, Michael, because you tried to say strategically or strategizing about four times.
No, I think that was the first take. I think you'll find that is the first take. No other evidence of that exists. And if it does, Ralph, you're fired.
I do agree with this one, though.
Because like, the first, like, happy birthday to you, you're like, oh, that's lovely. And then they go, happy birthday to you. And you're like, oh, God. And then it carries on for a really long time.
I've always hated this. And I remember when I was quite young, I said the one thing I wanted on my birthday was for people not to sing happy birthday because I hate it. And my dad still sang it.
Oh.
It really annoyed me. But you know, when I've seen those ones, Nick's got some friends who are singers. And they did happy birthday once. It was like a performance. I love that.
Do you know what's worse than the happy birthday? It's the beginning of the happy birthday when someone's just like, happy birthday.
Or worse is if it's a man who thinks that they can't have such a high-pitched voice, so they pitch it really too low. No one else can sing along and they can't even sing it.
Actually, I've got another ick that I discovered this week is when someone makes accidental eye contact with you just as you're taking a bite of your sandwich. It feels like they're intruding on like a really personal moment. Do you know what I mean? Like I feel quite invaded by it. Because I was just there with my corned beef sandwich having a nice time and suddenly I've shared something with somebody and I don't know what to do. And then like when you're chewing, do you smile at them or like how do you break it?
Oh, it would be so awkward. I don't even know. I love the fact that then you just said, actually, I have another ick, as if your whole life isn't just having icks with other people. Oh, I've just found one.
Remember the trapeze artist? Did I talk about that on the podcast?
Yes.
I did. It was the practicing that got me. It was the practicing. If he was just good at it all the time, it'd be fine. Anyway, back to Diane.
Is it still Diane?
Yeah, Diane. I guess that's it. But no, it's not. Thank you for what you do, for humouring us about Bake Off, for educating us about baking, and for helping to normalise LGBTQIA+ people. You make people laugh and think at the same time. Keep shining your light and spreading those good vibes. You're making the world a better place. From Diane in Chicago, in Illinois, in the US. And I'll actually put all that because we don't know where that is.
Yeah, brilliant. She told us where Chicago is.
Chicago.
Illinois. Well, there you have it. That's all we've got time for, so you're going to have to find something else to do the rest of your day.
Maybe go for a nice walk or pick a fight with your partner.
Oh, a nice long poo would help pass the time.
Or you could shave off all of your hair and get a tattoo of Paul Hollywood on your left cheek.
Ooh, which cheek, face or bum?
I'll let you decide. As ever, you can find more from us on our OnlyFans at patreon.com/stickybunboys and feel free to fling a message our way on our socials at stickybunboys or via email at stickybunboys@gmail.com.
And we will see you next week. In the meantime, remember to keep them sticky
in Chicago.
Ready for the boring bit? Let's go.
The Sticky Bun Boys are not endorsed by or affiliated with Love Productions, The Great British Bake Off, or any of its subsidiaries. All views and opinions are our own.
The Great British Bake Off and all related content are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Very professional, David.
In one breath.
We're all just having a bit of fun, aren't we?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.